free thy land. Gone underground, on the outer fringe of freedom. And this is your host, Freer Freedom. And tonight we'll be looking at how you can help yourself to help by secretly saving a life. Fascism is defined as business or commerce controlling the government. But when this happens, you'll notice that often the military force of the government is used to kill other people in other nations in order to secure profits for the business of your own nation. This doesn't need to happen, but it always seems to happen. Fascism is a spectrum of behavior. It starts out where you're just making some sound business decisions in your own life and letting that control what kind of a person you are and making some compromises with your conscience. When it's expanded out into the nation, eventually your nation just says it's okay for us to just go murder people in other countries because we need those natural resources, or some other rationalization. But it occurs to me that there may be something else going on. On Free the Land, we also explore the boundaries of scientific knowledge and metaphysics. And there may be something more to this than simply pragmatic profit-taking. It may be that there is something like human sacrifice going on. You sacrifice your firstborn in order to become wealthy. Hitler himself had made a secret deal with some kind of a magician and a mandrake root. He did not keep his deal, and he lost his empire. So, with this in mind, we are going to explore a tactic for defeating fascism without fascism even knowing you're doing it. You can do good by simply being good, but sometimes that's hard to figure out. But you can also do good by doing the opposite of what evil does. And since evil is rampant everywhere, it's kind of easier to figure out. For instance, fascism kills people for profits. This is the same thing that happens with black magic when they sacrifice someone in order to become wealthy. So Antifa, or anti-fascism, the pinnacle of that would be to sacrifice money in order to save a life. And there's two easy ways you could do this for less than $20. You could give a blanket wrapped in a plastic bag to a homeless person when it's cold and wet outside. The plastic bag will keep it dry, and the blanket may protect them from dying of hypothermia. Another easy method to save lives: you could get a small fire extinguisher at Walmart for $15 and give it to your neighbor. Again, you're sacrificing a few dollars in order to save a life from possibly a fire, especially if you live on the West Coast, where fires are going to become more and more prevalent due to global warming. Now, when you do something good like this, there are other yous on other timelines, and because you choose good, a lot of them are also going to be choosing good. So even if your neighbor's house doesn't burn on this timeline, at some point on some timeline it does. So you're actually saving lives in other dimensions for certain, whereas you're also saving lives here on this timeline, possibly. Now, when a alien civilization gets into their time machine anti-gravity vehicles, the same thing is happening on multiple timelines, like in two reflecting barbershop mirrors. And on one direction, they will be good, and the other direction, they will be evil. Just like when a particle and antiparticle are created from the quantum fluctuation of the vacuum out of nothing, these two particles can then separate and be on other sides of the universe and yet they are still entangled. And something that happens to one of the particles will have an effect upon the opposite antiparticle. Another way of looking at this is if space-time were pleated like a curtain and you ran a needle through it spinning in one direction, because it's entering the curtain from the other side, it will alternately spin in one direction and then in the other direction, just like a particle spins one way and an antiparticle spins the other way. From the point of view of the beings upon the space-time curtain, but from the needle's point of view, it's just spinning in one direction. So aliens who come here also have anti-aliens who come here as well. And an example of the anti-aliens, the anti-mantis, would be the Bledsoe's contacts with bizarre orbs and UFOs. The Bledsoes have been visited by high security clearance individuals from Area 51, the To the Stars Academy, and especially Jim Semivan, a CIA agent. So Jim Semivan shows up in To the Stars Academy and at the Bledsoes. Now the Bledsoes, when people would visit them, they would be spontaneously healed of cancer, especially. And cancer is easily healed with vibratory frequency tuned to the cancer cells to get them to burst. Anthony Holland has some research on this recently, and Roy Reif used to do it back in the day before he was repressed. But since the intelligence community has showed up at the Bledsoes have decided not to let just random people come by anymore. They are more guarded. Now, of course, who wants random people showing up in their backyard? But if they're being healed, that is something really good. In the context of what we're looking at here, I would think you would want to help people be healed in order to do good, rather than to let a bunch of spooks hang out instead. It may be that the spooks are using artificial intelligence psychology software on the Bledsoes to isolate them from uncontrolled elements of the public, finding out more about the phenomena firsthand. Aliens who are interacting with the Bledsoes are probably anti-mantis, and therefore good aliens, as on Free the Land, we feel that the mantis are evil because they abduct people against their will, they molest and torture their abductees, and they're just up to no good. We have previously said that the mantis use a hybrid part human female to telepathically contact us and control us. And the same phenomena shows up with the white lady that the Bledsoes are in contact with. This white lady is the good version of the human mantis hybrid on the evil mantis ships. She is actually entangled with the evil mantis telepathically in the same way that a particle and an antiparticle are entangled. So when the white lady speaks to Chris Bledsoe, her thoughts are entangled with the other mantis who have made deals with and are in league with the military industrial complex and can therefore reveal the secrets of the military industrial complex and the other mantis. So naturally, the spooks, in addition to stopping the healing on the property, want the Bledsoes to not say certain things in public. And this has happened to Ryan Bledsoe, but I heard him on Jimmy Church, and he said, as a good American would, that he had signed no contracts, and he felt that he should have the right to speak freely. And he did. What he revealed was that the aliens also performed abductions with missing time, and that they were full of light, almost transparent and glowing. Now, this is exactly the opposite of what I believe is going on with the evil mantis. The evil mantis actually devour light. It is their energy source. So the opposite would be a light radiating alien. They also do abductions like the mantis. There is a large alien with a small assistant alien as well, just like among the mantis. And his father said that the white lady told him that there was a critical thing that had to be stopped. There was a submarine that was going to deliver a suitcase bomb to New York City. You're listening to Free Thy Land on KFUC Radio. That's KFUC, Quarter Militia, California. 10944 BCFM. KFUC Radio, where it's the truth that sets you free. Now, when I first heard about Chris Bledsoe's account of a submarine sending out a vessel to deliver a briefcase bomb to New York City, I thought it sounded kind of ridiculous to use a submarine in order to plant a suitcase bomb. But Chris Bledsoe said that the aliens were actually angels, and they were our guardians. And it may be that they're using symbolic, metaphorical language in the same way in your dreams, things you see are symbols for other things. So if we look at the submarine as a symbol for the submerged secret activities of the military-industrial complex, and the briefcase as a symbol for a backpack pressure cooker bomb, well, then we have the elements of the 2016 October 10th planned bombing of the Columbus Day Parade in New York City that I talk about on Pop Diop, which did not occur because I predicted it. The Afghani bomber was scuttled and his bomb went off in a garbage container on September 17th, 2016. Chris Bledsoe had this conversation with the white lady in 2008, and he did not have a specific date for when it occurred. Ryan said other groups have seen it with remote viewing, and in Pop the Op, we assumed that this would be a Northwoods type operation, human sacrifice, in order to expand the war in Afghanistan, since it was an Afghani bomber. And since it was a human sacrifice, which must occur at a certain time and place, and it did not occur, it is basically too late for the evil mantis and the military-industrial complex to profit from this in the metaphysical way they wanted to. Now, like you and everyone else I've told this, I also felt this is completely unbelievable, and especially since it was so easy to do. So I must have been getting help from some good aliens, and rather than anti-mantis, I think these aliens were actually from Proxima B, which was discovered around the same time. Both Osley and Randall Carlson received channeled visions of the coming pole shift disaster when an astrological midpoint aspect occurred each time, and Alpha Centauri or Proxima B Centauri was at the midpoint of the outer planets involved, one of which was Neptune, the water planet. And Proxima B is mostly water, ice on one side, so I assume there are water-dwelling aliens there who may also dwell in the deep waters on this planet. There has also recently been discovered a radio signal coming from the direction of Proxima B and Alpha Centauri, but this may be a spy satellite on a Odd Orbit or the Tall Whites fucking around. I do remember finding an account on YouTube of a person who dived into water to save what he thought was a human but turned out to be an alien. This may be the same water-dwelling aliens. This person sacrificed the safety of not risking his life in order to dive off a boat to save the life of someone else who he had no connection to, which is similar to what I did predicting the bombing in New York. I risked my life, and the people who were behind it did try and lure me into sacrifice situations 3 times, but I figured they were somewhat professional and there was no real professional reason to kill me ultimately, since no one actually believes me. So here we have 2 examples of connecting with good aliens by saving a life and making some kind of a personal sacrifice, in this case, putting yourself in danger. It is important to note that in neither case was there an actual intention to sacrifice one's life. That would not achieve the objective and would actually be a human sacrifice, the opposite of what we're trying to do here. So don't jump into a raging river in a storm to save a young child, because even if you're an Olympic swimmer, you have very little chance of surviving or saving the child. Now, people often say to me that I'm too focused on the negative, and they believe that somehow just by focusing on positive, cheerful thoughts, they will have a better life and experience good. But I have found that just ignoring evil, thinking good thoughts, and yet continuing to do evil yourself by, say, driving a car which puts others in danger of dying, or eating sprouts, or all the other things that we don't normally see as evil. If you continue to do evil and just try and think good thoughts, it's not going to work. You actually have to do good things. And as I pointed out here on this show, there is a certain structure to what kind of good things you need to do, and with an element of personal sacrifice involved. This probably has something to do with interdimensional magical science. As I used to make the joke, I'm actually sacrificing my rationality by making sacrifices. That's the true sacrifice. What is commonly considered to be rational is merely the current paradigm we all believe in. 500 years ago, people thought that the world was a certain way and they thought it had it figured out, but we know now that they were wrong in all kinds of ways. 500 years from now, if we had survived, we would laugh about what people today think is rational reality of their paradigm, and the areas most likely to be where we're wrong are in these controversial topics of unexplained anomalies on the fringe of science. Up until the Munich Beer Act of 1516, there were mushrooms in beer, and according to Cliff High, during that period before, for about 800 years, there were fewer abductions of people by fairies, which is the equivalent to UFO cases for that period of time. So we have empirical evidence that using psychedelics to prevent alien invasion works. This is actually an element of time war, where by doing something small in an unrelated area, you can have huge effects on the downstream destinies. And because the multiverse is involved, there is a metaphysical, spiritual element to the phenomena. By taking psychedelics, you are denying these aliens some of their reality on this timeline. And as a result, the whole planet is more autonomous and free. The Proxima beings are probably very deep sea aliens because their homeworld is very close to a sun that gives off constant solar flares. Now, they would probably be cooked by these solar flares, but in the very deep sea, they are probably protected. So they would be in the deep seas on Earth if they traveled here, and also that ancient Russian lake where the Russian divers were attacked by aliens. They probably take psychedelic drugs because they channeled Osley and Randall Carlson was on acid when he had his vision of the coming deluge. And I myself am no stranger to the sacrament. The third good alien we'll be talking about here is the best of all. This alien can be seen in the Puerto Rican airport UFO video on YouTube. This is a smaller UFO, about 2 meters. It was tracked by a security camera, and it can be seen entering the water without making a splash. This UFO is referred to by William Tompkins as a bort. He appeared to be talking about leprechauns at the time, but at the end of his monologue, he referred to them as bouncing along the side of the house. He said they like to tunnel and get into the magma, so they prefer the very deep seas, or probably volcanoes like Mount Sinai. Yes, this is the burning bush of Moses, most probably. Holy, holy, holy is the Puerto Rican airport UFO. I know someone who has actually seen this UFO. This is the libertarian son of a homeless activist who, when he was about 5 in 1995, was playing a game called Car Car Come, where the children would hold hands in the middle of an intersection at night, and then when a car came, they'd all run and hide. Later on, they were lying on the ground looking up at the sky, and he said, "Look at that UFO," and when they did, it was immediately upon them, and they ran screaming into the house. He said it was about 100 yards above them and looked like it was 150 feet, but I lived about 3 blocks away at that time, and I think I would have heard about a UFO that big. But a UFO of 2 meters that zipped in there under the tree lines and was only there for a brief moment is entirely possible. It may have made itself appear in their minds as if it was further away and a larger UFO. Later on, when I heard Jimmy Church talking about this type of UFO with Joshua P. Warren, they said that it looked like there was even nuts and bolts at one point. Joshua P. Warren said that, well, it's actually a window into a multidimensional phenomena, and sometimes it looked mechanical with possibly a being inside it, and very deep water was nearby. And my friend said that he thought he saw nuts and bolts on it as well. And at the time, I thought it was kind of ridiculous for Lockheed to use some kind of eavesdropping device on their UFO to listen to kids. But when we look at it in the sense that when they were holding hands and saying, "Car, car, come," they were doing the similar to what goes on in Close Encounters of the Fifth Kind with Stephen Greer or the Sky Watchers, among other UFO enthusiasts. You're essentially calling on a being in the same way that angels and demons are evoked during rituals. And I remember a YouTube video I saw on the battles in the Mahabharata between different Vamanas, and the mechanical evil UFOs were opposed by a UFO that could be called by the holy rishis merely by thought. Now, the motivation for this alien to want to come to these children makes me think that the UFO itself is a child being. And this was confirmed by William Tompkins, who said that the borts were probably children. And the name borts is probably an abbreviation of abortions. These are probably a collective of millions of souls of very young children or abortions. That's because supposedly a soul is a very tiny tiny bit of electrical plasma that can't be seen by the naked eye, but is recorded on video recorders in these ghost TV shows. So this would be at 2 meters, I figure a centimeter-sized soul would be millions of souls in some kind of a collective. This alien was probably the one that appeared in a film shooting rays at a missile launched from Vandenberg Air Force Base south of the Monterey Bay. This alien is the one I am most concerned with because I tend to annoy everybody, and I used to worship the Lord of Hosts as an experiment, since I am technically an acid Buddha. But when I realized its ghost-like nature, I had to refrain from worship, and shortly thereafter, I had some bad luck, and that night, there was a windy storm coming right out of the center of the Monterey Bay, where there is some very deep water. At the time, I did not know about the Borts, but now since I found out about them, that is another confirming fact. From a leaker with very good credentials, William Tompkins was part of the Apollo Project, and this was on 2 points, that they were children and that they liked the deep ocean, which, by the way, makes them neighbors of the Proxima beings. The good folks like to hang together. And that gets back to the principle of resonance. To attract the Proxima B aliens, you would be good and take psychedelics. To attract the Lord of Hosts, you would be good and playful, like a child. And of course, yearn for freedom from the fascists, like the Pharaoh. But if you were someone who killed people for money, like the military or the military-industrial complex, well, then the kind of alien you're going to attract is going to be downright wicked. Which is why a UFO program should not be in the hands of the military or the military-industrial complex, and instead in the hands of philosophers or stoners. As Ryan Bledsoe puts it, the way that you are attracts what you experience. Well, there you have it. There's a whole bunch of help out there just waiting for you to stop indulging in unconscious fascism and out for yourself, fuck everyone else kind of philosophy of life. And though you won't hear this kind of in-depth analysis anywhere else, I imagine, I'm not going to ask you for a donation and engage in donationism, the fascism of the left, myself. Instead, what I'd like you to do is take $20, go buy a blanket for a homeless person or a fire extinguisher for your neighbor, and save a life. Because in reality, there's only really one being, and the life you save may be your own. And on that day, a Milankovic cocktail was thrown by the sun upon the Arctic methane, and behold, there did arise a great flaming donut from sea to shining sea, and it did lift up the land by classified technology, and the poles that were four were then again two, to the woe of the world.